You are listening to the Torah Sparks Podcast, the podcast that finds and ignites sparks of spiritual light and meaning in anything and everything, bringing out lessons and values straight from the Holy Torah. I am your host, Ori Strum. Let's jump right in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Torah Sparks podcast. For some of you, you might have heard the following story. It was a video that I had sent out through WhatsApp as well as through the Meaningful Minute app. If not, I'm going to share it with you here. It's relevant to MR because the word MR means to say. And I want to share with you, I was recently at a gas station pumping up and getting ready to pump up my car. I put my card in, my credit card in, waiting, and finally it says the classic message, approved. And right after that, it said, begin fueling now. And I really took it as a lesson for life, and that is we all are looking for approval. The approval from others that we exist, you know, and when we get approval, we can begin fueling now. It can give us the strength, the courage. We're human beings, so by definition, we need approval. We need recognition from others. A person can go crazy. A person can go insane if he goes a day without seeing other people. They're coming up with studies now how loneliness could be more dangerous than smoking. There's like crazy studies being released about this. People need recognition. People need approval. And the way we can approve others is not that complicated. It could be something that we say. It could be a good morning. It could be a smile. It could be a hello. Just the fact that I see you and you exist, you're a person, it can go a tremendous an incredibly long way. And you never know, when you give that approval to someone, they can now begin fueling now, and they can move on and continue on their journey, on their road, and their traveling, and their mission. So we can tap into one of the messages of MR to say. Sometimes you say something by saying something with your mouth. That's usually how you speak. But sometimes there's other ways to speak. It's with your eyes. It's with your hands. It's with your eyebrows. It's with your demeanor, your facial expressions. There's ways to express approval, express respect, to express acknowledgement to others around us through talking and through other mediums as well. Could be a smile, whatever it might be. So during this Tekufa, this time period of Sfira, where the sins of the Jewish people at the time on their lofty level was Shalom Nahagu Kavod Zelazeh, they did not accord one another with honor. And perhaps there was this lacking of approval, this lacking of respect and acknowledgement for each other and for one another. And obviously, of course, this idea has to be understood in an internal way as well. A person has to be willing to give himself approval as well. Hopefully you have certain relationships in your life, whether it be a spouse, whether it be a parent, maybe it's a child or a good friend, people where you find approval. But a person has to be able to work on himself in a way where he can find it within himself as well, to give himself approval that, hey, it's okay. I may have messed up, or I may have sinned, I may have did this or that, but to give yourself approval, not necessarily of the mistake that you made, but the fact that you're still a Heilige Yid, the fact that you're still a lofty person, the fact that you still have a Chilek Elokami Ma'al Mamish. And it can go a tremendously long way. That's one idea. I'd like to share with you something else that I noticed in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Emor, which gave me such an appreciation to be a Jew. In chapter 22, verse 10, the Torah says, V'cholzar lo yoichal kodesh tosishav kohen v'sachir, v'sachir lo yoichal kodesh. No layman shall eat of the holy truma, One who resides with the Kohen or his laborer shall not eat of the holy. So, in essence, the Torah is teaching us that a Jewish slave in the house of a Kohen may not eat the truma. The truma food was reserved for the Kohen, and the Jewish slave in the house of a priest does not eat from the truma. Okay, now contrast this with the very next pasuk, verse 11. V'kohen ki yikna nefesh kinyan kaspohu, yoichal bo v'yalid beso heim yoichlu belachmo. If a Kohen shall acquire a person, an acquisition of his money, he may eat of it, truma. And someone born in his home, they may eat of his food. And the Torah in this verse is teaching us that a Gentile slave, a non-Jewish slave, he may eat truma in the house of a priest. Now, at first glance, the contrast between these two verses perplexed me. Why is this fair? A Gentile slave gets the privilege of eating the holy, one of the most sacred foods. He gets to eat the holy truma, but a Jewish slave in the house of a Kohen does not? How does this make any sense? How is that fair? A Jew who is a slave in the house of a Kohen may not eat the truma, yet a non-Jewish slave in the house of a Kohen does eat truma? How is that fair? How does that make sense? And the answer, I believe, is so powerful. And it is, in fact, the greatest privilege in the world for this Jewish slave to not eat truma. And before you start honking, and before you start throwing apple peels, and before you start throwing your hands up in the air and saying, what could he mean by that? What does that mean? It's not a privilege to eat the truma. Allow me, just please bear with me, and allow me, just give me the floor for a few minutes. Let me explain myself. Let me get out of this. The reason is simple, and that is a Gentile slave, a non-Jewish slave, is owned. It's a Kinyan Kaspo. He's owned by his master. It's a full-fledged and full-scale acquisition. As the Torah says, it's a Kinyan of the Gentile's very own nefesh. The Gentile slave has no identity of his own. He simply belongs to his master. And for this reason, the halacha is the Gentile slave is allowed to eat truma. It's not a privilege. It's the greatest testament and show to the fact that he has no identity of his own. So he just gets sucked along and passed along with whatever the Kohen does. He gets the same thing because he belongs to the Kohen. That's not a privilege. It's just the reality. A Jewish slave, however, doesn't become the master's property. It's not a Kinyan Nefesh. The Jew is not forfeiting his very own personal soul when he has a master. A Jew, no matter what, retains his unique personalistic identity. And for this incredible reason, he's not allowed to eat the truma. And that is the greatest privilege. The fact that he cannot eat the truma in the house of the Kohen is the greatest privilege because it shows that he has his own identity. He doesn't get lost and swallowed up within the priest and that family. And this idea, I think, really connects to the idea of Svir Sa'omer, which is actually discussed later on in this week's Parsha. And if you'll notice, you could look at the Nesivos Shalom, page Kuf Zion, who points this idea out, that the Torah seems to highlight the notion of tenufa, waving. The Karban Omer was brought the day after Pesach, the beginning of the count until Shavuos. And the Torah refers to it as the Omer HaTenufa. At the culmination of the counting, on Shavuos, the Shtei HaLechem was brought, and the Torah refers to it as the Lechem Tenufa. So we see these bookends of Tenufa, this waving business. There seems to be a fundamental idea and teaching and Yesod about waving, and we'll try to understand that. The notion of waving teaches us an important lesson as we journey from Mitzrayim to Matan Torah. You see, when we experienced the Exodus, Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was the birth of the Jewish nation. But it's not yet time to receive the Torah. You see, because although we accept the Torah as a nation, we have to value the individuals amongst the nation, or the individuals rather that make up the nation. And so where is the individualism? Yetzias Mitzrayim was the birth of the Jewish nation, but the journey from Mitzrayim to Matan Torah was the birth of the individualism amongst the nation, amidst the nation. And yes, we are traveling together as one nation, but at the same time, we must connect to Hashem individually. Each of us has our own identity. You know, the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva who perished during these times, on their level, there was a lack. Shelo nohagu kavud ze laze. There was a disrespect, a discord for the individual. Perhaps for the klal, for the overall nation, klal Yisrael, yeah, we're part of the great body of the student. We're part of the great student body of Rabbi Akiva. Great, wonderful. We're part of this yeshiva. We're part of this seminary. We're part of this kol. We're part of this community. But that's not what Chazal say was the issue. Chazal tell us the issue was shelo nagu kavod ze la ze. Highlight, stress, whatever, however you want to bold it, italicize, underline all of the above. Shelo nagu kavod ze la ze. This to this. It was not an issue about the global, about the national. They all realized they were part of Rabbi Akiva. The issue was shlo nagu kavod ze la ze. There was a lacking in the individualism of respect for each other in their unique mission and purpose on an individual level. And that is so important in Yahadah, something that's so stressed, so much so that the 24,000 students, again on their level, needed to pass away. And we have this sphere, this mourning time to try to realize this grave mistake and to learn from it. And it's this count from when we became a Jewish nation, the global, yes, we're Klal Yisrael, it's great, it's wonderful, it's necessary, it's required. It's a chiv, we have to be part of the nation. But now is the count. Now the count, the 49 days, the 50 days, is a count because each one of us counts. Each one of us has an individualism, a uniqueness that no one else has. We have to highlight the zelazeh aspect, the zelazeh notion. And this is perhaps why there's a stress on the waving before and the waving at the end. Waving, Rashi says, kol tenufa meilech umevi meile umorid. It's in all directions. What a perfect message, right? It's a visual to learn from. Yes, we're a nation, we are one, but the waving in all directions teaches us that, yeah, we're connected at the core, but we all branch out. You go this way, I go this way, he goes that way, she goes like that. And we can all be connected even though we're going in different directions. That's what the waving is. It's Meilechu Mevi Mala Murid. We're all going in different directions even though we're connected at our core. And no two people's identity is the same. No two people's way of connecting to Hashem is the same. We're all on a mission, on a journey. And the time period from leaving Mitzrayim to Shavuos is a time period to appreciate and realize that we're part of this one, part of that central part that keeps us all together, about the nation, the student body, call it what you want. But at the same time, we have to be able to tap into the tenufa, to tap into the waving, that it's okay for you to go in this direction and I'm going to go in that direction. And that's okay. That's healthy. That's good. We give each other approval. Ze la ze. I can approve of your direction. I can recognize, respect, acknowledge, and approve of what you're doing, even though it's different than what I'm doing. It's a powerful lesson that perhaps we can strive to inculcate and tap into and make ourselves into better people and elevate one another and each other and ultimately the world around us. May we be zocha to do that. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Torah Sparks podcast. I wish you all the best. Hatzlacha and Emirat Hashem. We'll see you next week.